The boys are in the starting stalls. Moods, Mytho, Rog, and the Rain Man. Stand by for a start for Moody on the Mic.
The final episode of Moody on the Mic for 2023. I'm Roger Aldridge. Joining me, not the full cast, not everyone, Anthony Mithen and Peter Moody. No resident Rain Man Moods. It probably means we should be able to get in and out of here in about half an hour, maybe less, probably half of though, because Mytho is still here.
Yes, well, Rain Man, yeah, it was a very disappointing performance from him. Like, he's let the show down most of the year with his $1.85 tips and his, you know, quite often in the group ones, he's tipped 13 and still missed it. So the height of him not to turn up for the last show of the year. He's the only person that has children, Rain Man. No one else has ever had children and ever had to work their workload around their children. So feel for Rain Man there. He might be able to educate the rest of the world on how to handle children and their workload. Like, you just fed your young one a bowl of porridge there, Rog. Yeah.
Just a dedicated father to be able to step out and leave them running an absolute muck with my wife inside. So it's good. That's the sort of shit you get on a Thursday morning record.
So Mytho, the world's youngest grandparent. But that happens when you start breeding when you're 16 and get married when you're 17. And
Linford Christie, the famous sprinter, was the grandfather at 43, Mytho. Has he got you covered there, or did you're a bit late?
Yeah, I was 44.
Only just. I can see.
I'm 40. But I'm 40, and I've got a 9 month old. So.
Well, to be honest, yeah, father at 19, you know, it adds up. Do the maths. But poor old Rain Man, he's had a busy week. He's made it rain here in Melbourne, which has been absolutely spectacular. While Moods has been gallivanting around New Zealand, the rains have come, which has been good for the farmers, good for everyone, really. I think it was getting pretty, it was a dust bowl here. I know it's been the same up in the Hunter Valley. So welcome. If Rain Man can't be here, but we get 50 mils this week, I'm pretty happy with his efforts. Although I was watching the new documentary that Entain did too, on the All-Star Mile, called Miles Ahead or Miles in Front or something. And I noticed
also Greg Miles' autobiography. So
yes, yeah, I noticed in the credits. Well, we've got to start paying Rain Man a bit more respect, Peter. Like, we just treat him like he's the shit kicker guy who reads a bit of form. He's actually head of content for Entain. He's the boss man. So he might actually be busy. He might not be feeding porridge.
He's been head of content for about 6 years, Mytho. So I'm glad you're just finally getting
has
to speak then. Yeah.
Has he just?
God, wow. Fucking help us. God,
he's quite important, isn't he, really?
Allegedly. Look, let's not get too carried away. Let's not give him too much credit.
I just thought they let him have a desk because he had nowhere else to go and he was okay at form. Anyway. It's interesting.
I like the fact that you think his nickname's Rain Man's got something to do with the weather and not the fact that he's really good at stats, a la the Dustin Hoffman character. But anyway, hey, this is our final episode before Christmas. We'll be back in February next year. You won't have anything from us until then, so make sure you set your alerts on your podcast app to know when the next one drops. Moods, your highlight of 2023, was it the TJ Smith win, the consistent owner's checks for I Wish I Win? Or taking on Catherine as a co-trainer, allowing you to gallivant all over the countryside week in, week out without actually having to do any proper work?
Well, listen, I think we're still doing plenty of work, Rog. Not like you. We don't all sit in our own little den and do everything from home. Some of us get out and get on the tools. But the winning highlight would have to be I Wish I Win in the TJ Smith. The stables had a good year. The addition of Catherine Coleman as a co-trainer. That was a legality, not so much a change. Running second in the Everest, we had a crack at the big one and came up slightly short, and hoping we can build on it next year.
And Mytho, what about you? What fourth finish did you prefer this year?
Yeah, there were a few fourths. There was a few near misses. The rise of our Colts package, the Alliance, was satisfying through the spring to get Dool to win the Group 2 on Caulfield Cup Day and then, you know, produce a horse like Schwartz that looks top shelf on final day at Flemington. For all the partners that have supported us and been involved since day one, It was great reward for effort to have a couple of colts that, you know, I think the racing world sat up and went, oh, they go pretty good. And they're those colts colours for the Rosemont team. So that was probably the highlight, and we'll go again next year and hopefully find a few fast ones to let run fast.
I've got to say, the Darwin live show for me was a great experience getting up there with you guys. I did have someone
I think that was nearly my low light. I was waiting for the low light that was going to be Moods' slaying of Welcome to Country in a room full of Indigenous people. My low light of the week.
I did have a tweet where someone said, why didn't you put the entire episode of the Darwin live show up? And I just wanted to write back, well, there's a reason that this podcast isn't live and we have an ability to take certain things out. We did a live show and when we put it out to the masses,
Darwin, didn't it?
We took a few things out, but I don't think it'll be our last live show.
It was very much an overreaction. I was unbelievably respectful in my approach to what I said in Darwin, and I was very disappointed that the legal side of our operation didn't wish to show all the content.
I don't think it was as bad as what Mitho's leading on to. Certainly, in the moment, it was fine. Damien Oliver is obviously, as we well know now, is retiring. He's going to be a colleague of yours, Moods, as a Ladbrokes ambassador. He will ride for the final time in WA in a couple of weeks. It's going to be strange having, I mean, he's had his stints on the sidelines over the journey, but it's going to be a little bit strange not having Damien Oliver in the jockey's room moving forward. He's been a fixture for many, many years and a man that you know very, very well.
Oh, yeah, for sure. The GOAT, as he's known, 129 Group 1 wins. He's had an unbelievable career. What have we said? Over the best part of, what, 3.5 decades, thereabouts, 4 decades. And he plies his trade for the last time in his native Western Australia over the next couple of Saturdays. So it's, the pleasing thing is for such a great, he's going out of his own accord and of his own volition. How many times in all sporting facets or anything really do we see the champion sometimes push on a bit too long? Ollie's going out on top. His form over the Melbourne Spring Carnival was phenomenal. I don't think he's riding too far off the peak of his powers, but he obviously feels he does and he feels it's time for a change. So I think sit back and enjoy the next two Saturdays in Perth, taking the opportunity to witness greatness. And like in our three careers, the three of us that sit here and Rain Man was with us, I think arguably the greatest that we've seen, certainly in this part of the world. And that'll leave a hole. But as we all know in life, everything else quickly moves on. And we look at the next generation.
The other thing you've got to add when you're talking about Damien Oliver is his mental strength and his ability to overcome adversity. I mean, just have a think for a moment about losing your father on a racetrack in a race fall and your brother. And effectively, I think it was just the two brothers, wasn't it, Moods, in terms of siblings? Effectively, he's been left with just his mother in his direct family as a result of what he does for a living. And then he's got to get over the grief of losing your father and your brother and actually go back and do that for another couple of decades. In his father's case, even longer. That takes an unbelievably strong mental attitude and a belief in your own ability that's not going to happen to you. I mean, I can't imagine having to think that every day when you get out of bed and go to work, that this is the job that killed my father and my brother and I'm going to do it today. And I'll get up tomorrow and do it again and I'll do it again. I mean, hats off to the man. He's unbelievably mentally strong.
Not just what you say to go on for another couple of decades, but for the fact that arguably his greatest moment on a racetrack came a week.
The week after.
Yeah, after he lost his brother. I mean, and obviously they made a movie about it, and it's a great moment in Australian racing history, and he is such a key figure in the history of Australian racing. How long he holds on to that GOAT status as our record holder, I'm not so sure, because J-Mac is coming very, very fast.
I don't sit comfortably with the tag the GOAT, just simply
because... It's overused.
Well, no, it's a slow horse in our vernacular. I don't want Damon Oliver associated with a slow horse. You know, we need to come up with something else. Best of all time,
I can't believe how long it took you to realise boat was spelled B-O-A-T. That's extraordinary.
The boat. He's the boat. Best of all time. He's the boat.
Ooh, race seven's about to jump. What do we reckon, lads?
A guy in the community says he's keen on the roughy.
Do we trust him?
Well, his username is I'm a real big stats guy.
Say no more.
Connect, banter and follow tips with a community of like-minded punters only in Ladbrokes communities. Ladbroke it. T's and C's apply and available on website. Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
Group 1 racing in Western Australia this weekend. It is the Group 1 Winter Bottom Stakes, 1,200 metres at Ascot and Overpass. The winner of the inaugural Quokka is the favourite at $3.20, just $3.10. Just drifted out from an opening price of $2.70. Then it's not too far in the market, $6.50 Triple Missile and also Ripcord for Luke Fernie, $10 Oscar's Fortune, $11 for Hot Zed and $13 Snowdome, $15 or better for the rest of them. I'm going to be honest, guys, I think Overpass looks the only genuine Group 1 horse in this race. And he's got form in the West, as mentioned. He won the inaugural Quokka, so the travel factor, you know, isn't going to be a factor. I probably would have preferred him to draw a little bit better than 11. But look, he's got form around some much, much better horses than what he's going against here. Look, maybe there's always a chance for a blowout, but I think Overpass is a clear top pick. If he brings his A game, he should win by a good couple of lengths. And I think $3.10 is an absolute spoil, Mito.
Yeah, look, it's a funny old race, isn't it? I'm sure, you know what this leads to, Peter Moody? This leads to a star-studded crack field next year, because I reckon everyone's sitting over in the East going, why didn't we go over the Winterbottom? What a winnable race this year. So, look, it's probably a little underwhelming, and I reckon they'd be a little disappointed, but Damon Oliver brings the X Factor on Triple Missile. He'll give it a peach of a ride for Lindsay Smith, and maybe Lindsay can get it done in his old hometown. But you're right, Overpass looks the Roll Gold proper horse in the field. So if you're having a bet, you probably should be betting on the best horse in the race, which is Overpass.
Yeah, well, it was a very unusual run for Overpass in the Everest. But in saying that, he only got beat four lengths in running 10th. That form's good enough to win this race. You know, I think the top nine horses are rated 100 plus. I think, you know, it just always where it sits in the racing calendar probably lends itself to this type of field. The Winterbottom Overpass has had that freshen up off the back of the Everest. He's Johnny on the spot. I don't think the barrier, I think he'll overcome that pretty quickly. And at the conditions of the race, weight for age conditions, he's far and away the best horse. So he's only got to find a resemblance of that, hold his Everest form and he wins.
Arkansas Kids, a clear top-rated horse in the Ned's Sandown Guineas Race 7 at Caulfield on Saturday. He's $2.30 favourite out from $2.15. Mowdown for Charlotte Littlefield is a $4.40 second elect. $6 for Power of the Brave coming down from Sydney. Chris Lee's trained. Archie Alexander's got Vivier at $6.50. And then it's all the way out to $17 for Sunset Dreaming and plenty more for the rest of them. Look, Arkansas Kid, you know, there's a niggling thought that his grand final was the Coolmore, and we're now going into a second run past that. But he's racing well, and I trust, you know, the Lindsay Park team, the Hayes boys, to know absolutely what they're doing with this colt. And they're clearly keen to test him out small mile. If he gets that trip, and I assume they believe he will, and there doesn't seem to be a reason why he won't, he does look the class runner. As mentioned, he's a clear ratings top pick, and he's got to be the one to beat. $2.30, I'd prefer a little bit more, but I just think he's the best horse in the race.
Yeah, it's the bet to whether he gets the trip, isn't it? For mine, I would have thought. So I don't know that he will. His pedigree doesn't suggest that he will, but that's second guessing a pretty handy outfit in Lindsay Park. So they'll know their horse, and they'll have advised owners to take this path, and It is a very winnable race. It's a benchmark 64, take out perhaps the top two in betting. Modown was a good run, and if I've got an opinion of Schwartz to run second, albeit beaten a fair margin, I know that Charlotte Littlefield's got a very strong opinion of this horse, and Moods would have seen this horse poking around Pakenham over the last couple of weeks since that final day at Flemington, so he can perhaps give us an insight into how that horse is trained on. But Arkansas Kid, the one to beat, we've thrown the stumps with a 100-to-1 shot Perovic in the race, so I wouldn't be getting too excited. The only reason we're throwing him in is because it is basically a benchmark 64 outside the top two, and that's about his grade. So
tickets again, Mitho, because that's generally why you honest, when I saw you had, he's actually 150-to-1, I think, and I just thought when I was writing it up, I thought, oh no, Mitho's going to go on for a minute and a half about a 151 pop. So anyway, you've done well. I've done it for you.
Yeah, move on.
Yeah, well, listen, it's Arkansas Kid. It's hard to see him running a mile down a well, isn't it, really, to be quite honest. But, you know, I've done the same as Mitho here. I've put a filly called Tuckamore in it, who's a Ballarat Maiden winner, because it is a glorified benchmark race. And I'm not, convinced of anything in this race, to be honest. Is a horse like Modown still on the up? Listen, I've got to be honest, I haven't seen any of Modown here at home at Pakenham. This is a watch race. This is a watch. I hate to do it to you on the last show, team, but this is a pineapple. You got a 1,000-meter horse's favourite at the top of the weights, and he's 30 rating points above the field. He might still be able to just beat him. And the rest of them are on a wing and a prayer, and mine, Tuckamore, is the same as those.
I'm not sure the punters would like us to go out our final episode of the year without you delivering a pineapple for Christmas. So, just as well, you snuck that in. So hopefully you don't do it. You can't do two. It's against the rules of this podcast. The Zipping Classic is race 8 on the card at Caulfield on Saturday, and it's a very open field. It's $5. The field, Miramasa, is the favourite at that $5 mark. $5.50 for Huator, Deny Knowledge at $5.50. $6.50, Vow and Declare. The old boy just keeps on going. Duke DeCessa, $6.50 as well, and $11 for Banker's Choice. I've got to be honest, because it is such an open race, I'm looking for value, and I'm going to go with the Rose Hill Gold Cup winner. Now, a Gold Cup is still, it's not even a listed race. Don't get too excited there, but shock him over. Stepping well up in class. Look, needs to get the 2,400 metres where he is untested. Still fairly, fledgling career, but 2 from 2 at Caulfield and does like some give in the ground. As Mitho said earlier in the show, we've had shithouse weather in Melbourne this week, and I know Caulfield drains pretty well, but he should still get a soft track. So, in an open race at that nice each way price of about $16 and $5, I'll take Shock'em Over to deliver an early Christmas sack full of cash.
I'm going the opposite way to you here, Rog. I reckon the value is with the favourite. He's won his last three. He's been impressive. He's come back from throat surgery. Now, everyone, big no-go zone. But once they win three after throat surgery, you can pretty well rest assured that the throat surgery has done what it should have done. And it's worked. And I reckon that's the half the reason you're still getting $5 about this horse. Why isn't it 6-to-4? Its form's impeccable. And it's the horse to beat for mine. Drawn perfectly. Daniel Moore's riding well. I'd be loading up the favourite, particularly you're getting each way odds, $1.95 the place, each way for as much as you like, Miramasa.
I'm not sure you've done this before, Mitho, but I think you've just about talked me into it.
He is terrific odds coming off a Queen Elizabeth win. I actually, with Rog, I did give Shock'em Over certainly an each way chance, and I think for your trifecta punters, throw the old boy Vow and Declare in at the top. So 10-9-1 from me.
I don't know who at Ladbrokes was listening, but they've just the market's just tweaked as we've been doing this race, and Huator is now a $4.60 favourite, come in from $5 just in the last minute and a half, and Miramasa still remains at that $5 quote. So anyway,
none of us have tipped Huator to run top three, have we?
No,
we haven't. Interestingly, Peter and Paul Snowden they've got about half a dozen runs going around at Caulfield on Saturday, only two in Sydney, so. Big Melbourne attack for the Snowden stable, and we're going to attack our best bets after the break, our final best bets of the year, where, as you would have heard Rainman say last week, Mitho needs to lift his game.
Hey lads, a guy in the community says he's keen on the roughy in race 7.
Do we trust him?
Well, his username is Big Stats Guy.
Say no more.
Connect with a community of like-minded punters only in Labros Communities. T's and C's apply and available on website. Chances are you're about to lose.
Well, before we get to our best bets, just a reminder, as I said earlier, make sure you set the alerts for the podcast so when we do return, you'll get notified because we're going to be dark for the best part of 2 months. So don't forget about us. Just make sure you set that alert and you'll get the notification when we come back.
Rog, can you set an alert and give Moods an eye call just the hour or so before?
It's called our WhatsApp thread, generally what we go with. Why would I need to alert you an hour before me, though? You're never on time anyway. Best bets, though. My best bet, the last one for 2023, Revolutionary Miss. Always giving me the impression she's above average, and perhaps we started to see that last week. The best horses are probably in the paddock now, and she might be the top of that next level. And, look, I wouldn't want her much shorter than the $2.40 odds, but at that price, I think I'll be taking a bit of Revolutionary Miss. That is at Caulfield this weekend, race 9, number 1, $2.70. You can get for it now. And I'll tell you what, just a little bonus one for Christmas. The favourite in the Melbourne Cup Greyhounds. I did a Greyhound function. Me and Moods had done one before. I was back out there last week at Sandown for the heats, Moods. And this Big Energy, who's the favourite in the Melbourne Cup, my goodness, I've really seen a performance like it in the heat. And if he jumps well from Barrier 4 Saturday night, he's going to absolutely smoke him. $1.80, Big Energy. Big Dog Energy.
Big Dog Energy, right. I'll take that on board. I'm going to the Eclipse Stakes, given we've got 150 to 1 pop in the guineas only on Saturday and a couple of roughies on Friday night that we're hoping to run a place. Ain't no deal done. Harder to say than spell.
Well, you can't spell boats, so, you know.
It's done nothing wrong, this preparation, winning its last three on end. And the Eclipse Stakes looks an even sort of race with sort of horses that have been exposed all spring going around in it. Just Folk and Keats, the other ones in the market. But at $3.50, I think Ain't No Deal Done is my best of the weekend.
Pretty quiet for the Little Boutique Stable this week. I think our best of the weekend comes up in race 1, horse number 4, Aniza. I'm not sure of the right odds there, Roger. She's probably 3 or 4 to 1, I'd imagine.
Well, race 1, Peter?
Race 1, number 4.
Race 1, number 4, she is $3.70. Third favourite.
Right, so you're always sort of fraught with danger when you're finding one in these early two-year-old races and the trial form and everything, but I think she'll bounce off her Flemington run in good order. We've touched on Tucker Moore in the Sandown Guineas run at Caulfield. Why are we running the Sandown Guineas at Caulfield?
I was going to ask the same question, and, Peter. It does seem a little Sandown Classic, which obviously is a zipping classic.
And the Sandown Classic at Caulfield, this is a part of the Melbourne Racing Club's push into the late spring. Want to be careful going forward. Look, as a race like the Sandown Guineas and the Zipping Classic, they'd want to keep an eye on their status moving forward. But Tucker Moore, fingers crossed and hope like hell. And we've got Forbidden City in the Summoned for the Mares, race 9, horse number 8. I think she comes in with a nice each-way chance. Pattern against that Caulfield last start. Hopefully she can get into the run a bit more. But my best for the weekend, race 1, number 4, Aniza. Good luck, good punting. Have a great, happy, safe and healthy Christmas all. And to my fellow podcast members there, Mitho, Rog and the Missing Rain Man. Hope you enjoy it, boys. Have a good one with the family and see you on a race track soon. Let fast horses run fast.
May Santa run fast as well.
Let the reindeer run fast.
Yeah, the reindeers.
And find everyone. Yeah, and find everyone.
Yeah. All the festive stuff. The elves, I hope they're fast. You know, I hope everything is fast for you this Christmas.
And a Merry Christmas to our lone listener in Nigeria.
Ladbrokes.